Brass Dex, good morning. 4341790, Brass Dex, good morning.
Hello?
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Clearly.
My phone is, I've got a problem. Well, it might be a bit of a handful, but I'll try not to be long. Now, I want to say here, I'm not a psychologist, but I can tell you the first line in illness is acceptance. The second, stress and illness / cancer do not go together. The other one is wondering who will find out and spread the word, not really spitefully. Sandia has done what I would consider best thing. She has accepted it, which makes her able to come out and talk about the problem. By facing it head on, that leaves that leaves her in a killer spell. Everybody knows. So nobody has to be whispering this thing around. Okay? And the thing is, I am sure she feels better after having come out and said what she had to say, and it came straight from the camel's mouth. And I am sure since she has done that, her shoulders will feel lighter. And I am only hoping for and praying for the best for her.
Thank you very much, ma'am. It's certainly reassuring to hear that. There's a message sent yesterday. David mentioned it. I'm going to mention it again because the person says it's still happening. A burst main in the Kingsland Terrace, Amber Road, gushing since Sunday night. And water authority, please respond. That's a burst main, Kingsland Terrace, Amber Road, gushing since Sunday. 4341790. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Dennis.
Hi.
Glenn Murray here.
Yes, Glenn, good morning to you.
How are you doing, sir?
Not bad at all. And you, how are you coming along?
Man, I'm getting there, you know, but you know, you can't bully or push nature.
You can't push nature, no. That's a habit of striking back when you do that.
Right. It's evolving very nicely, so no need to worry. I'm well on the way. Just
good.
A question of putting in the necessary time and effort.
Okay.
And whatnot, but I'm doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I called to talk mostly, primarily about crop over,
okay,
or the aftermath of crop over.
Okay.
Although nationally there are so many issues that are happening so quickly, boy, that it's almost dizzying. The pace at which they're coming at you, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I would deal with the postpartum crop over, so to speak, in the sense that while most people are asking for or concerned about more sponsorship or longer route or more money or bigger prizes, I'm concerned that that in the whole cultural makeup of Barbados, we do not have a music festival, a Barbados music festival. I think that for a country that beats up its chest and brags about how talented they are and what a multiplicity of talents they have, or grip, what do you do with them? I mean, it can't be just soak and crop over. What do we do with all this talent we have here? And for far too long, I think we've neglected, once you got out of crop over and calypso, you neglected the other genres of music. I remember when I was chairman of the Coscat Foundation, we put on a gala. I mean, I was amazed at the rock, the gospel, the country and western came out of Barbados, a very, very high standards. Black people, white people, people you never imagined were involved in music. And I think that if we are going to do Barbados's real culture, anything, we need to have a music festival where we can expose all kinds of music to the world. Truthfully, when I listen to radio, international radio, I listen a lot to BBC, and they talk about different music. They talk about Jamaica, talk about Africa, the various African countries, their music, Europe, of course, another one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hear any mention of Barbados. I don't hear mention of soca. I hear reggae, of dance hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not hearing any. They feature bands and groups and discussion. I'm not hearing anything that tells me that soca is making the kind. I don't mean make an impact, not impact on the diaspora, which is expected, but on the wider international community where you have to make your breakthrough if people are going to be successful and make money and if you're going to develop your culture and expose them and whatnot. So I like I said, when it was at Crosscare Foundation, I also had looked at the situation, and I had suggested, we had discussed the possibility of a music festival in October. We had looked at all the easiest, slowest period was October. And coincidentally, you see that the Bobby's Rum Food Festival has now been shifted to the very same October, right? I had proposed that you could probably start a weekend, a Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday, but a nice venue, but promote it well and give people a chance to do other types of music. Not only music, we have poetry. I was telling some friends here, I was telling some young people, they've never heard of Timothy Callender.
What was NIFCA supposed to do?
I thought NIFCA generally was supposed to do the very same thing, but that has carried a niche for itself. It's not going beyond that. Well, if you go to NIFCA, where do you go after NIFCA?
Well, which is why I asked, because sometimes you set up a festival and it grows, and there are times when you set up a festival and it sort of implodes on itself. For example, I remember the Bahamas had something called the Caribbean Music Festival.
Right.
We certainly sent representatives from this station. I remember going in 1995, I think, to the Bahamas. Now, they said that they had a reggae night the year before when they had the music festival. They had a reggae night. And it was well attended. But that people did not attend the Calypso night. So they merged the Calypso and reggae night for the 1995 festival.
Yeah.
No, I was there for that one. And I remember Sparrow was well received. Ras Eilidh teared down the place. Spice and Company was well received. And Barrington Levy didn't get on stage till almost 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
But people grooved through the soca. And I asked the Bahamians, so why you all said that the soca nights or the Kaiso nights were not well attended, when ICPP enjoying the Calypso as much as they did the reggae? There are artists in Barbados who perform all sorts of music. Gospel has, you know, if you look at Gospel Fest, you have people who come for that. So right. When you talk about a music festival, who are you targeting? Are you going after a particular genre? Do you want to widen the genres? What do you hope to gain from the music festival?
I hope to give exposure and development to the artists who are not known necessarily accorded any exposure through Cropover, through NIFCA, through NIFCA.
Okay.
Right. I'm saying there's room for rock in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
That you do not know what is harboring in the minds of some youngster who can come up with some rock.
Mm-hmm.
Invention, creation, composition, whatever.
Okay.
Same thing happened in, even further in gospel. Country western. It can happen in semi classics. All I'm saying is that give other people a chance to shine. One reason I'm talking about a festival is that Barbados, Jamaica has Dominica has a music festival. Saint Kitts has a music festival. We had a jazz festival, and that went the way of the dodo, right? But I'm still saying
because
that.
Because of something called sponsorship and support.
Yeah. If you can start a festival and grow it over a period of time.
Which is why I said festivals either grow or sometimes they implode. The reason why I'm saying this, Glenn, is because I don't object to a music festival. I like music, and I think all kinds of music should be exposed. The question is, what type of response do you get, and how long do you persist with it before somebody throws their hand in the air and say, you know, I don't want a part of this? You take jazz, for example. There's a St. Lucia Jazz Festival. Barbados has a jazz festival. Tobago decided to have a jazz festival. And because Trinidad is awash with all sorts of petrol and other dollars, they threw a lot of money behind the Tobago Jazz Festival. They got some big name artists, Stevie Wonder and, you know, big names. And then what happened to the Tobago Jazz Festival? Tobago complained that they have no people. The bridge between Trinidad and Tobago went into all sorts of tailspins. And even with the Tobagonian as Prime Minister of Trinidad, Tobago is still crying out for a lack of tourism input from a festival.
Right.
And St. Lucia Jazz Festival became more of a pop festival than a jazz festival because people said, you know, the cost of artists, the type of artists, jazz is only for a certain clientele. So when you spread it, and I agree, rock has its people, classical, instrumental, even a pan festival. Right. But the question is, who are you targeting and how do you get it? How do you get the response that makes it sustainable? How is the challenge.
First of all, you get a response through exposure of quality.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have quality material and it's exposed and exposed and marketed and promoted.
Ah, marketing becomes an issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Because there are hundreds of, when it was High Commission in Canada, right? I realized that there are hundreds of festivals across Canada. In fact, one time I got an answer print on there more than 200 festivals of different types around Canada. But I started in Ottawa Jazz Festival. I befriended the director of it. We became friends. I got him to come to Barbados at the compliments of the Barbados Tourism Association.
Right.
Spend a week in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came, he had listened to some CDs from me. When he went around on his own and saw and heard people, he was blown away. The next year, I was able to stand up. Tamara Marshall, mm-hmm. along with Adrian Clark and the group.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next year, I sent to Marissa Lindsay.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Right. Agile went
mm-hmm.
Because rock and is jazz and blues festival.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Mallord went.
Right. Another excellent one. Yeah.
Right. All acquitted themselves well. All acquitted themselves well. And the thing is that once you get on the circuit, once one festival admits you and lets you perform, it is easier. It's almost automatic that you get onto other festivals because you would have a stamp of approval. And I found that there are a group of people who make good livings by just playing at festivals.
As I said, Glenn, I don't disagree with the concept. We used to also have holders season. We had several ways that the talent exposed. Let me put this to you though. One of my pet peeves again. I need to get off my soapbox from time to time.
I know.
Glenn, we have in Barbados something known as the tourism product.
Mm-hmm.
We say tourism is our business. It's our main driver in our economy today. And we push. Just Sunday, we had a discussion about cruise tourism.
Cruise tourism, right.
And an excellent point raised by the owner of the boatyard. Where are the activities and attractions in the day in Barbados? When I worked at Paradise Beach Hotel, we had a boardwalk jam on Sundays, live music on the beach. And when we tried to have it first, the general manager said, no, the people in British Airways crew want to sleep because they got to go and travel on Sunday night. Said who? British Airways were all over the boardwalk, right? We had a big boardwalk jam that worked on Sundays. Barbecue, hamburgers and thing on the beach, and we lime in, beers flowing. Where you get that in Barbados today? And when you have things on the beach, whether it's breakfast on the beach, we do it for crop over, and then what?
Yeah.
So if you have jazz artists in Barbados, and we do, 1688 Ensemble is a magnificent. The people in community college got some real musicians coming out. Where do you hear them? Where do our visitors go to see them and hear them? Our pan sides are not going to develop if they're not opportunities for them to play and for people to give them money and for them to be able to get better instruments, more tuners, more people involved, and make some money for themselves eventually. True, it's going to need support from the business community. But why don't we use the hotel sector to drive this?
Dennis, what I'd like to tell people that the change of the garrison at Buckingham Palace and the
mm-hmm. We have it at the garrison now too, from time to time.
I'm saying that these big international, well-respected, famous festivals and events were all created by human beings. You know?
I know that.
So
I know that. I know
God's
that.
God's heaven has dropped me to somebody's lap and said, "Do this."
But it took some work and it took some money behind it too.
But we are supposed to be so well trained and educated and creative. Put it to work. Work on it, develop it. But if we keep throwing our hands in the air, mm-hmm. we will just all be frustrating people who need a chance to export.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I can't disagree with you.
I think that if we're the further development of crop over is concerned, and even tourism. By the way, I also had a background in tourism in the 70s when I was published and manager at the Barbados Board of Tourism for Hawaii. So I spent some time doing some in tourism, developing things. I won't go into them to blow my trumpet now, but I have a background in it for a number of years. Right? But I think you have to stimulate the activity. It's not happen by itself. You have to make it happen. Okay, let me make the point. I'm going to make one point, and I'm blowing my trumpet a bit too. Community independence celebrations. That came into being in 1995. Now it's become part of the natural landscape where because you stimulate the community, the people, the building. It comes out. It reproduces itself organically virtually every year.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little. I remember when we first started, we had a budget maybe of $200,000. And after the third year, we were sending money back into the treasury. And Mr. Arthur said, "But you don't need any money. You cut your budget because we were doing events to generate money and sponsorship because of the nature of the whole fact. It has to be organic. It has to stimulate people for people to support it."
Yeah. If you just hold for a minute, Glenn, I have Adrian Agard, I'm told, on the line, who wants to join the discussion. Adrian, good morning to you.
Hi, morning.
Morning, Adrian.
I just got in the car and heard the discussion.
Uh-huh.
Excited about the somebody, it's just time to at least discuss something.
Swipe, Adrian. Go ahead.
I hear Dennis say that we should do this and we should do. Who are the we that we're talking about that would initiate these kind of events and so forth?
It's Glenn who said so, Adrian. You see, that's what I tell you.
But isn't this the era of entrepreneurship? Isn't this the area people take ideas, take chances, look for support, build it, and try it? All that's entrepreneurship. That's not electronics, you know.
So you mean individuals have to be prepared to take some kind of risk at getting involved in the activity you're talking about?
And I did mention Gospel Fest just to make sure you didn't hear that part, Adrian.
Is that what you did with Gospel Fest?
Yes, but I'm saying that does the environment that we have now encourage that kind of risk-taking? Does the environment facilitate right now? And I hear Dennis mention, it's interesting, he mentioned something called Holder's Season. Has anybody thought to find out why these things have disappeared from the scene? Why is it, and Glenn, you are the perfect man, you've been around a long time. You can remember Barbados that was vibrant with all kinds of events happening. Why have they disappeared?
Because the Holder's Season actually had a piece in the newspaper as to why certain things were not continued. Support from various agencies lacking was one of the things that was mentioned.
What else?
I think Holders is just one example. Holders was a niche market. I am asking for a festival that brings several niches together then and gives them a better chance to be exposed in a composite setting.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. But at the genesis of at the beginning of it and getting to the point where somebody has to take the lead on it.
Yeah.
Somebody has to take the risk at doing it.
We have a cultural industry development authority. Those are the kind of things that they have to encourage, not just the visual artists or the charismatic, but those are the things that we have to encourage. That's where the facilitation comes in.
But Glenn, the environment also has to be conducive to it.
You sell it to people, you persuade people, you convince people, just like in any other field. You have to do it yourself, Adrian, with gospel.
You also have to remove some of the impediments.
Of course.
Right now, there are a lot of, and that's why I was alluding, I said you have the history, you know what used to happen in Barbados, and Dennis was at the station for a long time. You know when we used to have gospel events every Saturday night live on Voice of Barbados?
That is correct.
Yeah. You know when they're all over. Why are these activities not taking place? Have people lost the entrepreneurial edge or desire? No, not necessarily. But you have to look at the environment. The environment does not now foster or encourage persons to get involved. And a festival like that would be a fantastic idea. Party. You mentioned rock. There's all sorts of genres of music that could be exposed in such a festival. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in every, no matter what you seek to do in this area, the environment has to be conducive for it. And there are some impediments that have developed here in Barbados that...
You want to say what one of them... Can you say what one is, Adrian? At least one?
That's it.
Okay.
Right.
And venues?
At the kind of requirements that people have to meet in order to full stage an event. These are the things that I believe that you have to deal with the various agencies, whether it's cost cap or whatever you have to deal with in terms of trying to stage your event. Mm-hmm. How do you work with these agencies to more help to facilitate? And I think all of them have their role to play, not crying down people for doing what they have to do in terms of their royalties and so forth. But I think that in every area, it has to make sense to the person who's going to take the risk.
Adrian, I want to thank you for your intervention. Glenn, you as well. I've been signaled on at least three occasions that we need to take a break, but I thought because you're on your cell phone, I needed to engage you a little longer. Certainly an interesting conversation. The only thing I needed now to top that off was Gilbert Rowe on another line, and we would really have a riveting discussion because this is something I am eager to hear us pursue. Certainly enjoyed it. Thank you very much for your contributions, gentlemen. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Dennis?
Brother Nasser, how are you?
How are you doing, sir?
I am doing good, sir. Doing good.
How the family?
They're doing well, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All praise due to Allah. First, let me say that I went to a police band concert. I love the police band like every Belgian. We all know it's the greatest band in the world. But I went to a police band concert on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. At the Prince Cave Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis, I want to say something to you. Here, Glenn, by the way, I was up by Glenn for lunch, you know, every time. I'm his family, you know.
Okay.
Every time he having lunch and he want outside people, I am one that day. He looks real good. I challenged him for a run by Demi Gay another few weeks. He was taking me on.
Trying to kill my moderator, man.
Yeah. He has two fantastic children.
Yeah.
That, I mean, look, he has a fantastic wife, too. But I talk about the children. You know, when children young and they're qualified and they're educated, like his, they're really.
You they don't stick around.
No, no, they do not love you. But they make sure.
But they spread their wings.
So he is well blessed.
Yeah.
So I told him, you know, to hold on, he'd be all right. But he looks real well.
Good.
Now, I also want people to remember Harold Hoyt, another outstanding man that has done a tremendous lot of good for this country and its black people.
Mm-hmm.
And surely has done a lot for me. Mm-hmm. So I hope we keep praying to make sure that he gets well again.
Yeah.
But I want to tell about this gentleman, Prince Kier. But before that, I was talking to Bradshaw, Delight Bradshaw, yesterday. And I told Brady, your family have been through some pretty rough times. I remember on the platform when everybody tried to accuse you of wrongs that you didn't do, and they would not. They started to attack me, and I tell them I am too intelligent to destroy a man that has done no harm. I remember your son choked to death eating food. I remember you had a stroke, and God bring you back almost perfect. I know your daughter has problem with cancer. And I said to Brady yesterday, your family is a good family, and a stumble is not a fall. So remember that you could recover from the stumble. A stumble is not a fall. So I want to say to Harold Hoyt and to Brady's family and to Glenn's family, a stumble is not a fall. God would put you all back. No. I want to talk about this outstanding young man that I saw.
At Prince Cave.
Prince Cave. His name is Mr. Dexter Norville, Assistant Superintendent Acting and Assistant Director of Music Acting. Mm-hmm. I want to say this to you, Dennis. I traveled this world, went to some of the best concerts, best everything in the world. God has blessed me to had an always a good life. I see all kind of artists. I used to leave here and go to England to sit down with the pastor to listen to the Merry Men. You remember Merry Men used to be up there?
Touring more than the pastor, more in Barbados.
Right. And I used to love Barbados and go to Canada to hear them outstanding men perform. Mm-hmm. I want to say this. When I heard this gentleman, Dexter Norville, saw him direct that band, I am telling you this not because he's a Barbadian. I have seen no director at no kind of level as good as he. Now, let me tell you why I say that. He mastered not only the music, and by the way, it looked like everyone in Police Band loved that man. I mean, the performance start for him is unbelievable. And I know he's, I sure he's 30s, huh? Mm-hmm. Listen. He handled the crowd. I mean, you know, he's directed his bio. But he also had the full interest of the audience. When you see this man, Dennis, you must go and see him. You will love him. He's a genius. And I'm telling you, Barbados police force better be careful, because if he gets a few more exposure, they might not be able to keep me in Barbados. So I tell you, I mean, a genius for man. I never met him that I know about before. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. But I tell you, Dennis, you should go. Next year, Police Band playing, and he directing, you should go. And if you haven't seen him already.
I will do that, sir, because one of the things, I agree with you, the Barbados Police Band, I mean, some outstanding musicians, and they have been benefited from having some excellent directors over a period of time. So I will see, as you say, young Mr. Norville. I think I may have seen him in action once before, but I'll make sure that I put it on my agenda to take a look at him the next time he performs. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello? Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Who is this?
Dennis Johnson.
Beg your pardon?
Dennis Johnson, sir.
Morning, Mr. Dennis Johnson.
Morning, Sir Charles.
I was particularly hurt the other day when I was not allowed to explain my position. And I'm hoping you will give me 2 minutes.
Go ahead, sir.
I don't want any long time. I just want it established that I have given away 6 pieces of land in my life. Every single one was pending town planning permission. The 5 acres to the old people's home was pending that I got permission. I did, in a hurry. The piece of land next to it, where the lovely home has been built for children, I only gave that on the condition that I would get permission. The 2 playing fields at Lairs were both given on condition that we get permission. The land I gave to the University of West Indies was given on condition that we get permission. So I want the gentleman who told me that I had the rights given away, a piece of land where the permission was granted, that I followed a policy that I followed for the last 20 years. And there's more.
Sir Charles, the unfortunate thing I think about this issue with Mr. Braffitt is, one, that it has gone on for as long as it has, and two, that it's been played out in the press. Has there been any attempt by yourself and Mr. Braffitt to sit and arrive at a mutually beneficial agreement to bring an end to this unfortunate incident?
I believe, I cannot remember his first name, but he sought an appointment with me. Mm-hmm. I did my best. I applied, I got turned down, I reapplied to do my best. And then, Mr. Dennis Johnson, I don't know if you can cut me off or not, a piece of paper fell off of a truck, and I found it. And it said, why should I give permission for him to get a piece of land and I can't get none? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He came into my office with a Mr. Neil Holder, I think is his name. about 2 months ago. It was before the last election. And I gave him all the time in the world, and I told him what had happened, what the circumstances were, and that I saw, like every other piece of land, that I'd given away permission to give it in some way or the other. And I put in the application again, which was turned down. I met the gentleman. Then my secretary, telephone operator, called me and told me that there was a man there that said he'd come here to see Carl Williams. It turned out to be Mr. Braffitt. I saw him.
Okay.
There's nothing more I can do.
Okay. So, Charles, well, you've put your points out, and again, you've explained your position. And as I said, I just think that this is best handled in private, because the ensuing or the ongoing discussions between yourself, Mr. Braffitt, and this unfortunate situation in the press or on the radio, I don't think it's doing either of your reputations any good. Thank you for sharing with us, Sir Charles, and I hope it brings some clarity to the situation and that you feel better now you've put your cards on the table. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Didn't answer again.
Yes, sir. Sorry, you were you're finishing. That's all right. We took a commercial break and lost you. Yes, sir.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, what was terrible, these outstanding people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to go now to talk to you, Dennis, about, you know, I hear a gentleman today trying to, matter of fact, I listen, all of them saying what I'm saying now, but they're not saying it with the strength that it should be said. I want to read a few chapters here in John from the Bible. John chapter 10, maybe it's chapter 10, maybe about 6 or 8 verses or something. So there's Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, enter the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and lead them out.
Mm-hmm.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will there not follow,
mm-hmm.
but will flee from him, for they know not his voice. It goes on to say that in the day, instead of running through all this here, I can do two more there. Very, very, this Jesus again, very, very say unto you, I am the door and of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pleasure, and find pastures, right? Dennis, I'm going to read the last chapter, the last one here, and I'll give you. The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I can stop there, Dennis. I want to say to Barbados that Barbados black people in some serious, serious trouble. Because they are divided. They're waiting for people to bring Jesus to them, although Jesus went on and tell them everything already and don't follow him. But this is what I'm saying, it's serious trouble. Us churches, and I'd say this right back and put it a little more force of sense, I read them things in the Bible. Our churches are not helping our people to get out of poverty and to withstand the shock
from this bad condition that the country is in now. That is one. Two, the unions must understand that when a man get old, he can't produce no more, and therefore they should be working to make sure that workers become partners in these businesses. I just listened to Mr. Williams. I have a lot of respect for him, but when it comes to principle, I don't compromise it for my mother. Mr. Williams got to admit that what he was trying to do, as he said he always do, it didn't work this time, that's all. And we would have no problem. Give the man another piece of land, and done with that. But I want to go further. The civil servants, the senior civil servants, not all of them, but quite a large amount of them, are not working in the interest of their own. They're working against their own. And the final say, politicians, and I might tell them, only I love your family, everything. You know that. This isn't the politics now. But if you don't take a firm hand in this country and make sure that black people get a better deal and that the 40% procurement comes into place, you will also be a waste of time. And you know I don't believe that you are a waste of time. Mr. Johnson, what is happening in Barbados is that we are now in a serious crisis and we want everybody to work to save this country. But you know when they're done, Mr. Johnson, the elites will still go all and the poor people will still have nothing.
Because you've just made the point that there are people who work not in their best interest, even though they may see it as being their best interest, one. And two, there will always be people who prefer to work harder to stop you from gaining than to work harder so that they would get a better deal for everybody. That is a sad side of human nature that we can't seem to get rid of no matter how hard we try.
Because we don't challenge it, Mr. Johnson.
Well, perhaps those who challenge it fall by the wayside too quickly or are shot down too often and they can't get back up.
But there we go. Prepare to die, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, I can't disagree with you. I always tell people the two people you have to fear the most, a man with everything to lose and a man with nothing to lose. Because they will do anything. They will do anything.
The man with everything to lose is there more problems than the man with nothing to lose.
Of course.
The man that's what I'm saying.
He will lose something. The man with nothing to lose has lost everything already.
He take you on. Listen, Mr. John. And all he take you on, he should take you on. Because whether we like it or not, the people who are dominating this economy, they don't get it because they're brilliant. They get it because they find people easily to manipulate. And that is what it is.
Sir, we have to find a way to get ahead that does not work that way. That's the challenge that I know you put out, and I join you on that one. And the churches may tell you that they're doing, but they're doing quietly. They're not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And you can't challenge them. Well, you could challenge them, but you mightn't like the answer. As always, enjoy your contributions. This is Down to Brass Tacks.